On the show today, we have OneSpan's very own Sam Bakken talking about behavioral biometrics and how they can help out your credit union. So check it out. Welcome to our show, and on today's program, we're talking about something kind of brand new. It's called behavioral biometrics, and this is something that's made on the sci-fi channel, I think, but it's become reality. And here to talk about it is Mr. Sam Bakken from OneSpan. Sam, how are you, sir?
I am very good. Thanks so much for having me.
You're very
biometrics. Cool technology. Excited to talk about it.
I know. I'm excited to hear more about it because this is something brand new to me as well. So I am excited to hear about it and how financial institutions can use it. So before we get started with that, though, let's start at step one. What are behavioral biometrics? What is this?
Yeah, great. So what it boils down to put it most simply, is it monitors how you interact with whatever device you're using. That might be a laptop, or it might be something like your mobile device, right?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So this is technology that is taking into account how and where I might press buttons on my keyboard, for example.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if I'm entering in a PIN on my phone, where exactly am I hitting those buttons?
Mm-hmm.
And the thing is, no single person is going to do that the same as another person. So it's a way to really verify somebody's identity. Right, and that can include things also as how you typically, the angle at which you hold your phone, because there's the gyroscope sensor within that. People will hold their phone differently.
Mm-hmm.
Again, and depending on whether you are someone that holds your phone in your hand like this,
right,
and kind of types with a pointer finger,
right,
or if you're somebody like me with a one-handed sort of deal,
that's
going to affect the profile that is collected to really kind of monitor the patterns and be sure that the user is who they say they
are. Gotcha. And I'm thinking the thing about behavioral biometrics is that they're truly, truly unique. Not that your fingerprint isn't truly unique, or your voice or your eyes, all that type of stuff that with the other biometric security system, but the behavior stuff, that takes it another step. That's another level, right?
Yeah, agreed. The thing is that there's this continuous monitoring that's going on is someone only when the app is open or they're interacting with the app, right? But just every little detail, you know, mm-hmm. how fast is someone typing information in? How are they navigating through a form or something like that, which also gets to being able to kind of identify human versus non-human
mm-hmm.
activity
right.
as well.
All right, so let's get to the financial institutions, credit unions and banks and stuff. I mean, why are they being used in financial services? Obviously, money is really important to all of us, so we want to keep that secure. Your ID is very important. So is that kind of the foundation here to protect all this type of stuff?
Yeah, it's really an anti-fraud
okay.
solution is what it is, right? So threats are growing in the mobile channel. I myself focus on some on our mobile portfolio for the
okay.
most part, but also just online in general, right?
Right?
Account takeover, application fraud, things such as this. And banks are struggling to not only reduce that fraud, but also do it in a way where it's not getting in users' way, right? One of my favorite quotes
yeah.
is, "The best customer experience anywhere sets the bar everywhere."
Right.
So, you know, our one-click ordering from Amazon, just everything being as quick as possible.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, consumers, you and me, credit union members, we also care about security. We want to know that the bank is taking action on our behalf to protect our accounts.
Right.
What's great about behavioral biometrics is it's sort of this invisible layer in the background.
Precisely.
that is taking into account, again, the way that you are doing things that you would be doing anyway,
mm-hmm.
how you do them, to just continually monitor this session as you interact with the bank. And the other great part of that is it can protect against what are called man-in-the-middle attacks, right? There's a great sort of simple explanation that I'd love to give on that.
Sure.
Recently, Lloyds Bank, there was a news article published that said that they're using this to protect against a particular type of fraud, which is remote access fraud. I don't know if you've ever experienced this, but someone will sort of call you up maybe and say, "Hey, there's a problem with your banking account. Can you please go to this URL, download TeamViewer or something," which essentially gives that person remote access to your laptop, for
mm-hmm.
example. Now, if a banking customer gets this and they kind of fall for the ploy and they allow the attacker that access.
Right.
The attacker will take control of that laptop and enter in information, add a payee,
wow.
and things like that. But what's great about behavioral biometrics is because it is constantly monitoring that session,
yeah.
it will notice that there is a difference in the way that the user is interacting with that banking application online.
Right.
And in this, you know, again, this news story that was recently published, there were a number of examples where this was prevented and they were able to shut that session down, contact the customer before any fraud could take place.
Yeah, that was my next question. Is like, okay, when it senses something's wrong, what does it do then? I mean, obviously, you said it shuts it down. What does that mean when it shuts it down? What does that mean?
Well, for example, again, that application session, the bank will just say,
yeah.
this can no longer move forward. So
okay.
that will stop.
Got
and
it.
Then there is an alert that's sent to a fraud team, depending on how you have it set up. But then there's a phone call going to the customer right away, maybe even when they're still on the line with that attacker, but saying, look, something fishy is going on here. You know, let's talk about this.
Mm-hmm.
We think you are falling victim to fraud, which, as you might imagine, a user appreciates just as much as that bank does
yeah.
in saving themselves from that fraud.
So how prevalent is behavioral biometrics out there right now? I mean, obviously it's still something brand new, but I'm assuming that it's gaining some steam out there, especially as, like you said, the malware, you know, is nearly doubling since 2018, all the fraud stuff going on out there. I'm assuming it's picking up steam, right?
Yeah, for sure. Again, like you said, it's still a little bit early days, but definitely more and more banks, financial institutions are getting on board with this.
Okay.
ITE Group, they're
yeah.
an analyst firm. They recently reported that like 10% of respondents to a particular survey said that they are they have implemented or
cool.
are in the process of implementing behavioral biometrics. I saw another survey from KPMG. They have an annual global banking survey. And on that one, actually, they said 33% of respondents said that they
wow.
Had implemented behavioral biometrics
wow.
Technology. So yeah, like you said, picking up steam. And you know, specific banks, again, I don't have credit union names quite yet, but banks that are doing this right now,
okay.
HSBC, Royal Bank of Scotland, I mentioned Lloyd's, and yeah, so a lot of banks are taking advantage of this, and also retailers in addition.
I
you
bet.
Know, e-commerce sites also trying to use behavioral biometrics to make sure that the person that's using the
mm-hmm.
application making purchases is who they claimed.
Yeah, and I'm thinking this is the kind of thing that doesn't get in the way of the process of what you're doing, whether it's making an online deposit, transferring funds, applying for a loan, that type of stuff. It's all in the background and it's very seamless. And there's really, again, I'm new to this, but I'm assuming there's no hurdles. Again, it doesn't get in the way of what the consumer is doing, right?
Exactly. There's a good quote about behavioral biometrics as well, which is don't treat your customer like a criminal, right?
Yeah.
So if you are monitoring the customer's use of your application, whether that's banking or otherwise, you're constantly monitoring, looking for changes. But if nothing changes, you don't want to get in that person's way.
Mm-hmm.
The people who you want to get in the way of criminals, obviously,
sure.
and that's something that'll be flagged as a result of, hey, this user is filling in fields more quickly than we would expect.
Yeah.
They're copying and pasting information that we wouldn't expect and things of that nature. So yeah, it's really that sort of, it's kind of it feels like a coming together of this true sort of balance between kind of security and convenience and really removing friction unless absolutely necessary.
Very, yeah, indeed. I think that's so important. So are there any other uses that financial institutions are using behavioral biometrics for? Obviously you gave Lloyd's Bank the example. That was a great example, by the way. Anything else on the horizon that we should be looking out for that folks are using it for?
Yeah, in terms of attack vectors, you know, application fraud is a growing
yeah.
Challenge for banking, financial institutions, credit unions as well. With all the breaches out there, the personally identifiable information that is out there, attackers will kind of take that information and they will go to various banks, et cetera, and try to apply for accounts. And so what they're doing is setting up fraudulent accounts, right? As you might imagine, they want a good return on their investment, so they automate a lot of these processes in order to apply for these accounts.
Mm-hmm.
And so another use case for behavioral biometrics is right there up front during that application phase is, again, like I just mentioned, noting whether or not this is probably sort of mechanical behavior rather than a human.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you and me, we probably wouldn't need to, well, hopefully a bank wouldn't ask for our social security number online, but regardless, we'd have that memorized, we'd type it right in.
Right.
An attacker might have to copy and paste, there might be some hesitation that's going on before they enter that, and so, yeah, again, preventing that application fraud, that's another great use case for this, and a way that banks are using that now.
So I'm assuming there'll be a lot of people on the fence with behavioral biometrics, so what's your advice for folks that are like, you know, maybe we need this, maybe we don't. So what's your advice to those folks that are kind of going back and forth on it?
Yeah, I mean, well, obviously, if you are challenged by both securing your customer experience and then but also not inconveniencing users, you really got to take a look at the technology. In terms of, you know, deploying it and best practices and that sort of thing, I'm going to recommend that you're going with a trusted partner.
Yeah.
There's any number of vendors that are providing this technology. Go with one of your trusted partners. It's likely that they can help you implement this, make sure that it's working for you. But again, you know, there are some, you know, concerns over, and I would say that they're misguided to be clear, but some concerns over the privacy of behavioral biometrics. But what's great is that behavioral biometrics isn't actually collecting any personally identifiable information, right?
Yeah.
It's almost this completely aggregated sort of profile that's built, and if a hacker were to somehow get their hands on that, it's essentially worthless information to them.
I would
it's
think so
sort
too.
It's a mathematical expression, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, I think that as there is with any sort of new technologies, there's some trepidation, but behavioral biometrics, at least to me, it's really sort of fitting this need to have accurate an accurate feeling for whether or not the user is who they say they are, but then also doing that in a way that's not collecting data that's personally identifiable and potentially valuable to an attacker.
Yeah, I think it strikes the perfect balance, you know, of security and convenience, and like you said, and on the whole data and the whole privacy thing. So I think there's a really good balance. I'm getting a feeling from just based on what you just told me and the little bit of research that I did prior, but it sounds like there's a good balance with this right now for folks out there.
Yeah, no doubt. It's passive. It's sort of invisible,
right?
So that the user really isn't impacted negatively as a result of this. Yes, you're going to impact criminals or people that you don't want to be doing these things in the first place.
Right.
But that's the point, right?
Right.
And for the most part, you're able to stay out of your user's way. So
it
really seems like a great fit for that sort of thing.
Yeah, I'm excited to see where this goes. I'm sure it's going to explode in 2020. So I'm really excited to see what happens with it in next year. But where can folks find out more information on behavioral biometrics besides Googling it? Behavioral biometrics.
Right.
Are there any other, I'm assuming you guys have resources?
I'm glad you asked.
Hey,
I don't know if you can see that. We've got a newly published white paper on behavioral biometrics. So I encourage people to, you know, Google OneSpan. Go to OneSpan.com.
Yeah.
You'll
yeah.
find it. Or okay. Google OneSpan and behavioral biometrics. Great sort of simple, concise explanation of behavioral biometrics. So that's a great place to start.
Yeah, I think you'll have a lot of interested parties out there checking this out for sure. So good stuff, Sam. Anything else to add before we wrap up here?
Again, just, you know, definitely a technology that is up and coming. A number of your peers and colleagues may already be looking at this, and I think it really is a chance to potentially differentiate your customer experience to keep consumers both secure, but then also, you know, stay out of their way for the most part.
Indeed. Completely. Couldn't agree more. All right, Sam, thank you very much for this info and kind of introducing us to this new world of behavioral biometrics. Very exciting indeed. And again, I think we're going to see a lot more of it in 2020 for sure. So thanks again. Appreciate the time. Keep up the good work there at OneSpan. You guys are doing stuff on the edge all the time, so I love it.
Hey, appreciate it. Thanks for having me. Can't wait to be back.
All right. Anytime, Sam. Anytime.
All right.
Well done.